Word of Faith Ministries, establishing the kingdom of God and changing lives with the message of faith and the grace of Jesus Christ with a practical, biblical, and balanced teaching you can trust.
Father, we love you and we thank you. We bless you, we glorify you. We exalt you. We give you thank you for your word and for your truth. Thank you that you help us. Thank you for a spirit of wisdom, revelation, and understanding. We speak the correct utterance to deliver the word in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, we've had a few weeks now every Sunday in our study series of saving your soul. Very contrary to what people normally believe, that saving the soul simply means changing your way of thinking. The spirit is an entity. The soul is another. People commonly mistake them. They'll be praying, saying, "Oh, we're praying so that the Lord can save the souls," but in reality, what is saved is the human spirit. Now, of course, if a person goes to heaven or to hell, wherever it is that they go, of course, the spirit and the soul goes together because the soul is a part of the spirit. But we've seen in a lot of information, this is session, 11 or 12 hours of study. The part that hasn't been born again inside of the inner man is the soul. And that's the issue that we're going to have our whole life. I say problem because that's where you'll deal with all types of fear, doubt, unbelief, hate, carnality. Amen. The majority of Christians are guided by their souls and not by their spirits. For example, if you're the typical person who doesn't pray because you're always busy, you're guided by your soul. Your soul will speak more. Your soul has a lot of information, deduces things. For example, one of the things that I've spoken with members here is, "Oh, I stopped serving because that other person is serving with me and I don't like them." How dumb can you be and continue breathing? How can you be so carnal? Which is why you struggle the way that you are now. Because you're carnal. Carnal simply means guided by your five senses. What do you care what the other person does? Amen. That's the reason so many of you struggle the way that you do. Because you take decisions guided by what you don't like. Some of you servers, you can't serve because you don't like the other one serving with you. Perhaps you're the issue. There are some of you, for example, I've known you for years. You have a terrible character. A chili pepper is pale in comparison to you. And doesn't matter. You can be here listening to the word. You're going to continue the same, saying, "Well, I don't know why the word doesn't make effect in the word that Brother Hughes preaches," because you don't believe it. Simple as that. Because he who believes puts it to work. I'll give you an example. If one of the ushers here seated you down and you say, "Oh, down here, there's a cobra," I can assure you, you are not going to sit there if you believe them. You're not going to sit there. Why? Because you believe. Man, you believe. So that's what happens. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 6. A latent danger. Now, before going to the Bible, let's define the word latent. What does latent mean? According to the Royal Spanish Academy, means a pending danger, a hidden danger. Concealed or seemingly inactive or covert, something that you can't see at a simple view. That's what latent means. Amen. So with that idea in mind, 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness, and what communion has light with darkness? 15. And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, they shall be my people. 17. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Notice how 7 now, and as I told you, when the Bible was written, when Paul wrote these chapters, they were letters, and there was no verses or chapters in them. 7. Therefore, another way of saying, as such, adding to, having these promises. Which promises? Notice 6:18. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. Contamination of flesh and spirit. The first sessions. I know if somebody listens to the first 2, 3, 4 sessions, and then they listen to this one, the first few sessions, I told you what you are in Christ, what we possess in Christ, in your spirit, that God loves you regardless of your actions. But I also told you that in this series, we would go from what happened from new birth to reaching to what I mentioned a moment ago, carnality, things of the sort. And that's what happens. We give too much place to the devil in our lives. So people get confused when I say, well, or when I've said, God loves you regardless of your actions. And some would say, well, if God loves me and he's so good to me, why do I struggle the way that I struggle now? And that's the difference in behaving well or not. You don't behave to gain love from God. We behave, for starters, we'll be in peace. Behaving well, having good character, is also provoked when you understand how much God loves you in faith. It'll release the laws of the kingdom in your favor. Amen. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. It's the only verse that I find, the only one, that speaks of contamination of the spirit. In the whole New Testament, the whole new chapter, especially the chapters from Apostle Paul, it only mentions in this verse, and there's a rule. You do not make a doctrine from one verse. Nevertheless, there are other verses that indicate certain things to us, and we'll be seeing them in a moment. If you combine this verse with others that we're going to be seeing, then there you'll see that latent danger. There are two flows in the kingdom of God, and I think you've heard of this before, when Christians will say, oh, I don't want to be sinning because I don't want to lose my salvation. Have you heard of that before? There's no such thing as losing your salvation. But there's another very prevalent doctrine, and this is in the debaucherous light side of Christians. It's saved and always saved. Have you heard that before? Two doctrines. Which is correct? Not a single one. Nevertheless, there is something that you will do, or that you can do, that I can do. One more time. I'll mention things that I mentioned in our first series. When you're born again and you see the Lord Jesus, Your spirit here inside of you is perfect. God lives there. The Lord Jesus lives there. The love of God inhabits it. God sees you in the spirit. He doesn't see you. When I say doesn't see you, it doesn't mean that God is blind. God doesn't see you in your mind or in your body. John 4:24, the Lord said to the Samaritan woman, God is a spirit. It's where God deals with us in the spirit. It means then, if God is a spirit and deals with us in the spirit, it means that we can live very loosely then? No. In Ephesians 1:13, this is also part of what we saw in our last few sessions. I remember there was a very dumb guy here. Hold on, why dumb? Well, you have to be very dumb to listen to what I'm going to tell you, which I find Bible and truth, and then you go with another woman, leave your wife, and say, well, the pastor tells us that God loves us the same. Tell me if that isn't dumb. And then blame me still. You left your wife and your daughter, and now you say that it's my fault. Oh, how nice. I'm referring with dumb. Ephesians 1. There are many people that like that. Foolish. Ephesians 1. In him you also trusted. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In whom also, having believed in Christ, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Notice, you were sealed. Have you seen something that we call a vacuum packed? Perhaps meat that is stored that way, vacuum packed. It's that way, nothing gets in. No germs, nothing, to preserve it. Well, this verse and others indicates to us that sin, when a Christian sins, sin acts, as we saw last time in our last sessions, acts here in the level of your mind and body. Or we already saw that. But again, the only way that I can see and explain this, and I've explained it for many years, and I've spoken with 2 or 3 ministers, because I don't just want to say that God told me and that's it. I always have people that have more time in the ministry, more experience, more age in the ministry. And the way that I explained it to someone, as I understood, do any of you have a pen with a cap on it? Thank you. This one's perfect, especially out of the color. It's more visible. You see that we are a spirit, possess a soul. Would it be the crystalline part of this pen? Right there. The crystal part here would be the human spirit. This part here is your soul. It's the part that hasn't been born again. Following along. And as we've studied over the years and through different series, all sin, disobedience, carnality starts here in your thoughts. All ignorance has to do with ways of thinking. I've heard people here in Douglas, if a man at the port of entry, a Border Patrol agent, so a Border Patrol officer here does his job, and if he's a man, perhaps white, of clear skin, blue eyes, and makes questions of where are you going, or what are you going to do, and he's firm and he does his inspection, people cross over and say, I had a very racist officer. Where do you think that nonsense starts? Here in your mind. But it's all the trash that you hear. There's a saying that says, misery loves companionships. Just as the rest of the world speaks, you'll speak like the rest of the world. There's that idiot going, there you are. Right? Instead of looking and studying, the word of God removes the stupidity from us. And then use our head a little bit more. He gave us a head to use it. Not to just comb my hair or put a hat on. That adjective racism doesn't fit there. Perhaps he was firm, severe, or simply he was just doing his job. And you have no reason to be scared. But that term doesn't apply to him. But why do you think the rest of the world says it that way? As I told you, the rest of the world follows what the rest of the world says. Instead of evaluating. Evaluate what you're listening to. Well, same thing happens here. For years, we've had religion here. Oh, God is putting tests on us. God is punishing us. Well, if God put an illness on you to teach you something, deal with it. Amen. Brother, could you pray for me? No. If God placed it on you, deal with it. Isn't that right? For example, I'll give you an example. If God places an illness on my brother Juan over there, my brother Juan should not come with me. He hasn't. Don't go telling him things. It's just an example. He'll say, hey, well, Pastor Hughes, could you pray for me because God placed this illness on me? What do you think the first thing I'm going to tell him? Well, no, because if God placed it on you to teach you something, deal with it. That's religion. Again, we have to be poor. Because Jesus was poor. Well, neither that doesn't fit either. There's no Bible for that. I've told you, there's extremes in everything. And this series, I'll be touching on that. It's true. We have many preachers out there preaching materialism, and they preach of money just to benefit themselves. But not everyone. We're not all like that. Many of us have a heart for the Lord. How do you think we're going to pay television, radio, videos that need to be edited? Well, how do you think we pay the light, electricity here in this building? How do we pay the insurance? How do we pay everything that we pay for? I think we have to pay them a month. We do it with money. But people are misinformed. And people out there in the world are going to tell you, there you go, and giving the money to the pastor. Instead of, oh, you give the money to your pastor. That's the worst. If I were to keep with all the money that comes in here, I'd live very comfortably. I wouldn't have to be seeking it, having to buy animals or things of the sort to resell. I tell you so you can see the nonsense that there is. Suppose I keep all the money. How do you think everything is paid for? Amen. But there are people like that. Again, there are some people who will never change because they don't want to. So there's a pending danger there that we have to be careful for. Now, we shouldn't be scared saying, well, I'm not going to do this because I'm going to sin and I'm going to lose my salvation. But also live in debauchery as many Christians. There are Christians, I hope none of you here are like that. Because if not, you're going to hate this. But there are Christians who go to the churches on Sundays very hungover. And God loves them, hungover. Amen. God loves you. But God still loves you with that smell of dope. You see, God loves them the same. God will not change. God loves them just as he loves me. As I last night sleeping at 10 at night, I was already asleep. And perhaps some of them were smoking two or three blunts. Drinking booze. God loves them the same. That's the truth. That's what I taught you in our first session. The difference is that they're giving lots of place to the devil. There's a very small verse, Ephesians 4, verse 27. Do not give place to the devil. Right there. Do not give place to the devil. He will destroy your life. Drugs and all of that will destroy your body. Alcohol, you'll damage your liver, your pancreas. Drugs as well. Drugs will do the same. And then, when you die, because drugs killed you or alcoholism, your family is going to be mad with who do you think? With God. And then with the pastor. Oh, isn't God so good? Amen. And people are going to be mad with God. Or if they take you to a funeral home or another church, the priest or the other pastor is going to be saying, brothers and sisters, God took him away. Have you heard of that? God took him away. And the whole family and everyone, all friends, they knew that he died out of drugs or out of alcohol. But no one's going to say anything. God forbid you end up standing up and saying, no, Mr. Priest or Mr. Minister, I apologize, but it wasn't God who took him away. I knew him. He was my friend, and he used a lot of drugs, and although he went to church, he was a carnal Christian. And he would pay attention to what? He would just do what the pastor preached, just certain things, what he liked and what was convenient for him. Amen. The rest he didn't. Oh, if you end up doing that, forget about it. Here in this little town, half of Douglas stops talking to you. Why? Because it's easier to blame God. Because no one wants to take responsibility. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, before going back to the example of the pen. Oh, pastor took away my pen. No, I'm not saying she is, you are. The rest of you here. May seem then, if the issue is the soul, as we've seen in many series now, and even in this one, is that there's so much sin and disobedience. If the only connection that we've already seen, if the only connection that there is the only connection with the soul is with the spirit, because they're connected. That means then, the only issue that I can see, my opinion in this issue, which I should say is a correct one, is that sin, so it starts, you start walking so much in sin that sin starts creating so much weight in your soul. And through there, it comes through your spirit. It's when the Bible, we have cases, again, people do not lose their salvation, they renounce their salvation. Salvation is a gift. What do you do with a gift? You receive it, or what? Or you reject it. It's not automatic. Just because a Christian is lost, cold, giving place to the devil, instantly they're going to reject their salvation. No. But there's a pending danger there. If I'm constantly walking through here, through this edge, it's very probable that, you know, it'll be fine for 2 or 3 services, but there's a danger where I could twist my ankle or fall over. So you give so much place. You start filling yourself with things of the world. That there is a danger there that you could reject. And we'll see it in a moment here. Thank you. So when I read this, Ephesians 1:13, in him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. I was sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. I don't use this verse to say, oh, it doesn't matter what I do now. And what do I say? Thank you, Lord, that I am a child of God. Thank you that I am your child. Thank you that I am temple of the Holy Spirit. Thank you that you are with me. And that is exactly what has helped my wife and I to where, what? 22 years, love? 22 years. Some perhaps have more, but what's so good of 30 years acting like dogs and cats? And walking in the Lord. And you know where the respect, where that harmony is, that understanding, because you've seen Nuvia and I have two completely different personalities. Amen. Laura says amen, yes. Thank you. No, it's a joke. Now, where is it in that? In understanding us in the Word, but we respect each other mutually. I'm not wanting to change her. She's not wanting to change me. But if I say something that isn't right, here normally she always tells me, you shouldn't have said that. But I listen to her. I don't argue with her. Are fighting, saying, oh, you don't have a right to tell me that. I listen to what she's going to tell me. It's always best to learn from someone who's more prudent than you are. Amen. Thank you for those 2-3 amens. Now, let's go to a moment here to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I believe it's chapter 9. What to do with your mind? Or before that, help me there. Keep 1 Corinthians 9. Go to Matthew 15, and then from there we'll go to 1 Corinthians. Matthew 15, verse 10. I remember one time Nuvia told Erica. She said, Erica, when are you going to come to work to edit videos? So-and-so. I want you to edit this, this, and that. Nuvia wrote down everything that she needed to edit, everything that I had said. After that, Erika saw it, said, there's an issue. It's going to be about 25 minutes of a teaching of so much removing that we'd have to do. Matthew 15, verse 10. When he had called the multitude to himself, he said to them, hear and understand. Hear and understand. Not what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a man. Then his disciples came and said to him, do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this? When they heard this, they were offended. What word did they hear? Notice in verse 7, he told them this. Hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, and in vain they teach worship, teaching as doctrines the commandments of man. Because the Lord here was preaching to them how they would invalidate the word of God to put traditions of man. Now, there's something here that offense has. Being offended. For example, always, years. I have years now, what, 9 years. Ever since Donald Trump says that he was going to run for president. Saying, oh, that man is racist. He's a racist. That's all you hear. Now, suppose that he is. What do you care? I don't care if a man of Europe, an Anglo or German, says that I'm less than he is because he has a different hair color than I do. I don't care. He could think whatever he wants to. That won't offend me. He could think what he wants to. So what do you care if Trump is racist or not? He isn't. But suppose he is. What do you care? But people are so dumb from their head. They're so carnal that they would rather. Think about this. Suppose that Mr. Trump truly was racist. He's only 3 months in presidency. Suppose that he completely transforms this country better than in the first one. And this country, not only does the economy go up, there's something called law and order now. Law and order. There's more order now. It's barely 3 months. And for some of you who are always worried, the price of eggs is dropping. So don't worry. No, don't you believe that God is your source? The only reason you don't want those prices like that is because the world suffers and the people suffer. But you and I trust in God. But suppose, and the country changes for better when he's about 3 years, because he's barely 3 months now, but when he's in the third year, and you can see the change, you can see it more than ever. There will be people who will still say Donald Trump is racist and I don't like him. You know why? Because they're selfish people. Think about it. It's you. You're one. What's worth more, you or 330 million people? 330 million people are more important than you are and me. Thinking of system and government, there's best for there to be a total good for the whole nation. Other than something that would affect you, what do you care? If the rest of the country is going to benefit from it, doesn't matter if something affects you, if a law affects you, it doesn't matter, because God is your source. That's the difference. But only a mature person is going to understand that. That understands that God, that strong relationship between God and you. But there's too much selfishness. Because people say, oh, what's he going to give me that's going to benefit me? You. Because those people, they don't believe the word. Think about it, how important it was that God the Father gave his only Son for all of humanity. God the Father was more interested in the whole humanity than his one Son. That's love. Change your way of thinking. Change it. Where were we? Mark what? No, Matthew. Get out of subject very quickly. Matthew 15:12. Then his disciples came and said to him, do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying? But when he said, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Leave them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind leads the blind, both will fall into a ditch. So there are many pastors who are blind. I don't understand how a man can call himself a pastor. As this man, Raphael Warnock in Georgia, I believe he's in Georgia, pastor of a church, which Martin Luther King used to pastor and supports homosexuality, abortion, everything, all of that. And he says that he's a pastor. So he's a blind leading blind, supporting wokeism. Doesn't go with us. Didn't say you should hate the people, but you can't support those things. I've never promoted that you hate a homosexual or something like that. I know people who are homosexuals and I treat them well. I treat them the same way I treat you. But I can't be supporting their lifestyles. 15, verse 15. Peter responded and said to him, explain this parable to us. So Jesus said, are you also still without understanding? They didn't understand. What did he say in verse 10? When he said, hear and understand, and they still don't understand. Do you not yet understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart. In other words, he was placing something natural with something spiritual. Because if you read all of this story here, the Pharisees. This all started, and it explains it in Mark as well, but I won't go there yet. It all started because they said, why do your disciples not wash their hands to eat? The Pharisees were seeing all in the natural, speaking of food, which is why Jesus said, what you eat goes to the stomach, and then it goes to the bathroom, in our language. But the important thing here doesn't mean that you shouldn't wash your hands and that you shouldn't just be hygienic and cleaning. It's also good to shower. But the Lord here was placing something much more important, which is the spiritual. For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts. This word here, heart, does not refer to the spirit. It's referring to what? The soul. Out of the heart proceed out of the mouth come from, for out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, having sex without being married, thefts. Actually, the word porn in the Greek porneia is what it means, fornication. False witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man. Just give you diarrhea, but that's another point. We're working with your hands or something, you're all dirty. Yeah, because there are Christians who use this verse to just be disgusting pigs. Go to the bathroom, don't wash their hands. And then they're greeting you. No, I said one. No, you didn't wash your hands, don't. You see the point here? What this is saying here is that in the soul is where the issue is. So you give so much. Go back. You give so much to that, to sin, to disobedience, pornography, drugs, cussing, blasphemies, anger, wrath. You see, that will poison you on the inside.
The Word of God says in Romans 10, 9 through 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For in the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. If you have not received Jesus Christ, you have not been born again. Therefore, you have to take the next step. I am not speaking about a religion or changing a religion. I am speaking about you receiving Jesus as Lord and Savior. I invite you to make this confession with me. God, in heaven above, I come before you to receive the gift of life, to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. I believe that you raised him from the dead. I believe he is alive and he reigns. Jesus, I give you my life and I invite you into my heart. From now on, God, I can call you Father. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for receiving me as your child. Now, if you have said this prayer, you have been born again. Welcome to the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome to God's family. And remember, with all thy getting, get understanding. The word says in 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith, not by sight.
Do you have any questions regarding this teaching? Visit our website at npfccc.org and click on the questions section to submit your question for Pastor Ignacio Hughes.
We are grateful for your continued prayers and financial support, which are important for spreading God's word around the world. Giving to our ministry is both simple and secure. Please visit our website, npfccc.org, and find the giving section where you will find a variety of giving options. To make a donation, fill out the donation form, enter your desired contribution amount, select the specific fund you wish to give to, add your preferred payment method, and click the Give button to finalize your donation. Upon completion, you will receive a confirmation of your donation. We want to reassure you that any amount you decide to give is a blessing and appreciated in our ongoing mission. Thank you for your support and for partnering with us.
Hi, I'm Kayla, and welcome to Word of Faith Ministries. We're all about sharing biblical, practical, and balanced teachings that you can trust. Through our teachings, special broadcasts, and live videos, we aim to spread the gospel far and wide. And if you share what we do, you're helping us reach even more people and keep this mission going. Thanks for being part of it.
Have you heard that before? Even people in other worlds and Christians, this is very common. Oh, those are very toxic thoughts. Oh, that person is so toxic. The other time I was here on Pan American and there was a car in front of me. It was a pickup truck. And on the back said, "What my wife, the toxic one." And I thought, what a nice matrimony. Not even as a joke should you say that. Well, that toxicity, that poison, all of that sin will start acting in you. And from one way or another, I don't know how, I've studied this a lot. And if you see something, later tell me. Because there in Ephesians, it says that we were sealed. But there are seals that can be broken. In one way or another, we can end up reaching this. We can. Now, don't be fearful. But don't also deal with your salvation so lightly. 1 John 3. There are many debaucherous Christians. Oh, yes, 1 Corinthians. Thank you. Thank you. 1 Corinthians 9. It's always good to have people more intelligent than another. 1 Corinthians 9. Because here, speaking of the body. What do I have to do? Subject your body, your mind, your thoughts with the word of God. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24. 24 to 27. When I reach 27, once I read it, just 27, we're going to read it in the New Living Translation. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in one thing. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty, thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body. Not meaning that you beat yourself here or that you whip yourself, no. But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should be disqualified. New Living Translation. I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that also preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified. You know, the amount of people, and again, this is not judging anyone, this is the truth. This year that passed, and part of this year, pastors who were caught in pornography, child porn, others with other women, with this defrauding the church, others who had abused a woman so many years ago. And quickly, the internet and channel networks, especially local TV networks, they're quick to grab onto it. Doesn't matter if in that same town they killed three that same day. The news they gave it after the pastor came first. That's the issue that happens here. When you see this, pastors who fell in this or the other, it's this and any other person. They don't discipline their mind, they don't discipline their body. And it seems easy to them, but the devil will expose you very quickly. The devil is always wanting to expose you and embarrass you. Now, where did I tell you to go to? What was that? John what? Oh, 1 John 3. It's 1 John 3. So what to do here? Discipline your body. Control your thoughts. You can also say, this isn't convenient for me. It's not convenient. As nice as it may look, it's not convenient. But Brother Hughes, it's because if you saw how nice my neighbor is. Yeah, but what a nice issue the devil is going to put you in and destroy your matrimony, your children. Terrible example to your children. And like that, politicians who have fallen in all areas, from politics, men in business, important businessmen, people in the gospel churches. And quickly, when you're in position of authority, it's much quicker. That everyone point you with their fingers. That they point at you with the finger and criticize you because you love God and they tell you it's too much church. You say, yes, amen. She'll criticize you with that. But not for other things. Don't use the idea of God loves you to live loosely. 1 John 3, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called children of God. Therefore the world does not know us because it does not know Him. Beloved. Notice this. Beloved. Now we are children of God. Now we are children of God. And it has not yet revealed what we should do, but we know that when He is revealed, we should be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself in Christ, just as He is pure. When did He purify you? Every day. How do you purify yourself? I just mentioned a moment ago, guard your life of those thoughts. Guard what you're watching on your phone, on television. What are you watching? Nowadays, as I've told you, nowadays it may seem like everyone on television is super hot. They're quickly just wanting to get naked. They want to remove their everything for anything. I don't know what they like about it. What are you watching in that? Don't play with things. If you follow your conscience, just your conscience, here inside of you, you'll say, nah, this isn't right. Just follow your conscience. Do you know how an airplane works? How it flies? No, I'm not saying that you're a pilot or something like that. We have something that we call the law of gravity. So an airplane has to use something which in aerodynamics is called what? Do you not remember in school? They taught us. Did you guys fail physics or something? Yes. I like the honesty. Yes. The law of? Huh? No. No, you're a lawyer. Stay with... The law of lift and thrust. Yes, did I say it correctly? Is it your... No? You're a chemist, right? No, I'm not a physician. Okay. Lift and thrust. To maintain ourselves up there. That doesn't mean that the law of gravity stopped existing. It means that airplane is using a greater force to go against. My point in saying this is that law of gravity continues existing. But if the airplane turns off its engines, I don't know if you travel an airplane and you travel constantly, then you realize when the airplane starts losing altitude. You're going to make a trip of 2.5 hours. You see the clock. You see that you're close to your destination. You can also feel when the airplane starts losing lift. But if you look through your window and say, oh yeah, we're losing altitude, you can't even realize it sometimes. You can feel it. if you're checking certain things, but just by looking out, you can't always realize it. Ever seen when you traveled? But if there's an airplane up there, 40,000 feet, and they turn off their engines, that airplane gonna go in. It's gonna start losing altitude. What am I telling you with this? None of us here never believe, including myself, this goes for all of us, that you know it all, that you're very strong spiritually, to be, as my pastor who's in heaven used to say, Pastor Gutierrez, to be flirting with sin and disobedience. One more time, put in the example of that airplane. That airplane, if it doesn't do something, eventually it'll crash. Apparently, it may seem like nothing happens. I told you, if you travel in an airplane long enough, you'll realize. You can feel when that airplane starts losing altitude. But you don't realize it yet. But the airplane is still going. And if an airplane here is still on, but if the engines turn off, the airplane is just gonna be floating. But eventually, if something doesn't happen, that plane is going to crash. That's what happens with our spiritual life. You don't take care of yourself, and apparently something might happen. And you may even say, no, I have a better job now. It may seem better. But eventually, the laws of sowing and reaping will be accomplished. Just go like that. There are people who... Remember what I shared with you? When was it? Tuesday or Thursday? That brother who left the church. When was it? It was one of those days. One of those services. That brother had said goodbye to the church. I was going to preach there. And the pastor told me that before giving the place to me, this brother was going to say something. Pastor, kind of like where I am now. You say, well, I'm leaving now because the Holy Spirit told me to divorce my wife, that all of you know here, that's in the church. I'm going to go to this other church where my future wife is, and we already have our divorce settings going. I'm going to go with my other wife. The Holy Spirit told me. Oh, you think the Holy Spirit told him? Really? And as I shared Thursday, I told the pastor had already told me about this before giving the place to me, because I had already been in that church before. He told me, there's just a person here who wants to give a certain announcement. Don't feel too uncomfortable. I'll explain it later. I already spoken with the pastor beforehand. And that's what he was referring to. When I heard that, I was already sitting down. When we went to go eat, he shared with me, he said, yeah, this man already told me that he was going to be leaving the church, and that God had told him to leave this other church, to where his new wife is going to be at. I said, oh, what nonsense, huh? The Holy Spirit doesn't work that way. But I told him, well, at least he said goodbye. I'd like to have some people like that who would have said goodbye. Yeah, there are people guided by their flesh. You can see that. Are you understanding now? Now let's go here. Let's go to Romans 1. To start closing up, just due to time, we're going to read everything in the Amplified Classic. Romans 1, verse 21. Now here in the Amplified Classic, there are some words that give greater detail in certain words. Notice here, because when they knew and recognized him as God, that means that these people sometime had a relationship with God. People born again knew mean that they had a relationship with God. Because when they knew him and recognized him as God, they did not honor and glorify him as God or give him thanks. This is a very important point here, that if you're not careful and did not thank him. 1 Thessalonians, don't lose your... Well, unless you have an Amplified Classic here. Normally they're in English. In your Bible, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 21. Where it says, give thanks. 18. Thank you. In everything, give thanks. Notice, give thanks. How a moment ago we read, give thanks. Do you know that there's a difference between giving thanks and being thankful? Not necessarily the same thing. If you go out there, here on, I believe this is 2nd Street here, and you make a survey with all the homes are here in the neighborhoods, and they say they're thankful with God, I believe, this is a theory of mine, that everyone will tell you that they are thankful. But there's a difference between being thankful to giving thanks. Even in... That's the difference. Give. The difference is you can be thankful just with your mouth. Just saying, yes, I'm thankful with God. Giving thanks is a corresponding action. Giving thanks is there's a corresponding action in all areas. With your lifestyle, it's giving thanks. Again, Romans 1:21. Because when they knew and recognized Him as God, they did not honor and glorify Him as God or give thanks. But instead, they became futile and godless in their thinking. With vain imaginings, foolish reasoning, and stupid speculations. And their senseless minds were darkened. Again, notice not how it didn't say their spirit. Their minds here. Your mind, your will, your emotions. Continue putting trash of the world. Look at everything that happens. All around the world, politically speaking, economically speaking. And look at it in line as the world thinks. And your understanding will be darkened. Another example, just so you can understand how it's biblical. Tomorrow I'll look at kingdom and government on YouTube. But just to give an example here of what the new president is doing here in the United States. Something that we call DOGE. Department of Government Efficiency. Regardless of if you like Trump or not, if you agree or not. Your point is to look at it with the Bible. Look at what the Bible says. Just so you can see what the Bible says. But there are millions of Christians who won't see it this way. They're foolish people. That the Bible says. 1 Timothy 5, verse 8. But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. So, we cannot be sending money to other countries and giving money to people in other countries and even people who are here illegally and giving them all benefits as if they were citizens. Forget if you like Trump or not. Look at it here. It's not biblical. It's there where you and I see it from a biblical point of view. Not even political, biblical. You see it? It's here how you and I should analyze what we see. Imagine if you have your children here, and for some reason you're struggling to well, they kicked you out of your job or cut back your hours or to bring food to your house. And then all your neighbors in the front or all the neighbors in front in your street and all the neighbors around you or your same street, they bring their children to you. And you say, well, I'm going to leave them here with you so you can keep them and feed them for about a week or so. And then you tell your children, kids, well, I'm sorry, but you guys aren't going to be eating for a week because I'm going to have to feed the other kids from the neighbors. And do you think that would be fine? No, you wouldn't be fine at all. You first have to take care of your own, protect your own, so that then you can know how to help the rest. But no one should pressure you, I've taught you. Giving or helping others should not be pressured. It should be from here, from your heart. Especially when you know the Word of God. And you're pushed by the Spirit of God. Oh, I'm in the Amplified Classic, Romans 1. Verse 22. And their senseless minds were darkened. 22. Claiming people who think they know it all, especially on television. News anchors, things like that. Claiming to be wise, they became fools. Professing to be smart, they made simpletons of themselves. And by them, the glory and majesty and excellence of the immortal God were exchanged for and represented by images resembling mortal man and birds and beasts and reptiles. First, when you see people who start leaving, they'll start with idolatry. Praising idols and people. There's a difference between respecting people, honoring, respecting their position, to praise them and worship them, as praising idols. 24. Therefore God gave them up in their lusts and their own hearts to sexual impurity. Lust, their disorganized desires, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, abandoning them to the degrading power of sin, which God delivered them. The reason why God gave them up, not because God here placed an illness or punished them, it's because God, as we've studied, does not want you forced in. He has given you something known as free will. Verse 25. Because they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. So be it. 25 one more time. Because they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator. There are people who have on high stands, they put it very high to these people who they promote. Who promote homosexuality, transgenderism. And many times we're so selfish that here in Douglas, we don't even realize it because it's a relatively calm town, especially, at least from what I've seen here, border towns, Nogales, Arizona, Douglas, here, they're small because people go just pass through. And if you and I live comfortably here, glory to God, by the grace of God, not in other cities, not in other places. Which is why people always seek benefits. How is this going to benefit me? Haven't you seen how many people suffer in the bigger cities? Because there's no law and order. And in some public schools, they are promoting all types of nonsense, sin, transgenderism. Which is why Mr. Trump has now so much opposition. Because he already said, when the president says, there's only two genders. Do you remember when he said two genders? Just two. You didn't hear the last administration say that. Mr. Biden, God bless him. I pray that someone preaches the plan of salvation to him, that he finishes his years well, that he receives the Lord Jesus as his Lord and Savior. And to Miss Nancy Pelosi and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and all those types of people. Mr. Chuck Schumer, who I don't desire any ill will to them. I don't hate them. I hate their ways of thinking, but not to them. That they receive the Lord Jesus and to repent, because if they don't repent, a very deep, profound hell is waiting for them. Now notice this. Where am I? For this reason, God gave them over and abandoned them to vile affection and degrading passions. For their women exchanged their natural function for an unnatural and abnormal one. Just after reading that, you kind of know what this is referring to. Lesbianism, homosexuality. For this, and men also turned from natural relations with women and were set ablaze, burning out, consumed with lust for one another. Men committing shameful acts with men, with other men here, and suffering in their own bodies and personalities and inevitable consequences and penalty of their wrongdoing and going astray, which was their fitting retribution. No, God did not send them that AIDS. That AIDS came to them out of their own lifestyle. The devil is the author of cursing, but men give place to him. Amen. Leave that verse. And the men also turned away. Verse 27. When you turn away from God, when we turn away from God, when our matrimony turns away from God, when children turn away from God, people think, oh, I'm so strict. People who have told me, it's because you're so strict, Brother Hughes, because Anthony is still 20 years old and still does what he tells you. Well, of course, the result is better. The other day, I saw someone here that I know. I think he's like 16 or 17 years old. Some time ago. Person here. And I saw the young kid there. And I greeted him and said, and I asked for his parents because I know his parents. But he was driving by himself. And I asked him, how old are you? Because I know that he's not 18 years old yet. Is it six more months to be 17? And I said, what are you doing driving by yourself? There are parents just because they think that their children have a permit. Out here in the state of Arizona, 16, they can already drive by themselves. How dumb can you be and still breathe? You know, if he ends up crashing, and what issue the parents are going to get in? Because there are parents, because they want their life to be easier. They let their kids, go to the grocery store. No, you have to be more wise. You're giving place to the devil with that. I think Anthony, to this day, and ever since he started driving at 16 with me, I sat up until 18. He was already driving by himself, but to this day, and he's 21. I haven't sent him to Tucson by himself. Still, mom and I. We still have an inner witness here from the Lord. Nor in the natural do I still trust him. Not that he drives wrong, but I think he lacks a bit of experience. He's not used to driving. Yeah, he can go from here to Alfreda by himself with a trailer. He can carry hay because it's smaller roads and less speed. But there on Davis Road, people, when you're passing someone and you don't see, with so many curves on Davis Road, you end up crashing with another car. And you know something? There are parents, like, they just let their kids do whatever they want. Some of you parents here, and they didn't follow my advice. I said, let me have your kids during summertime. I deliver them unrecognizable. Pastor, yeah, I know this is my kid because I'm looking at him. But he acts like another one in his way of thinking. Because some of you lack that, lack discipline. But if you know how to discipline yourselves. Alex? Well, the kid didn't come to church because he didn't want to. The kid, and there he is. Two times, wake up, and the third one, a cup of water. Water, yeah, I mean, he still has to shower. He didn't think of showering because he said 2 weeks ago that he showered. Yeah, parents need. My God. And sometimes see these kids, and I sometimes want to grab the parents with a spanking, not the kids themselves. Like, there are parents who, you know why all of this is happening with our youth? Because they're not parents. We don't have parents. There are no parents. And if one of you is a mother or at home, you have no excuse. Oh, my husband abandoned me. My husband doesn't want to know anything. Well, then you are supposed to be in charge. You have the Holy Spirit. You're a daughter of God. You don't have that, poor you, poor woman, oh, poor sister. It's because she suffers. None of that nonsense. You're a child of God. You have the Holy Spirit. You're baptized with the Holy Spirit. You pray in other tongues. I don't have compassion for you because there's a lot of power inside of you. Amen. I'm not going to judge you either. But, have me some compassion. No, with the word that you have, with the Holy Spirit inside of you, with the ability of praying in other tongues and spending time praying in tongues. I don't have much compassion for those types of Christians because they're not using what they have. And if you're struggling, you're not using what you have, glory to God. Yeah, I know. I also have compassion. I know that there are sometimes people go through things. We've all gone through problems and situations. I'm not judging anyone. But this is when you just, I can't do anything. I'm abandoned. No, it's not true. It's not true. None of that is true. Oh, I need the government to help me. That's worse. Amen. Ronald Reagan would say that the worst words that you can hear is if somebody knocked on your door and said, I'm from the government and I'm here to help you. Amen. That's the worst right there. I'm going to close up with that here. You understand that point? Verse 28. And so, since they did not see fit to acknowledge God or approve of Him or consider Him worthy of knowing, God gave them over to a base and condemned mind. A reprobate mind here is a mind that there is no repentance in that mind. Now, God always expects people to be respectful to Him, but when you hear that word delivered, now I'll tell you what that word here doesn't mean. Here, Sister Josefina, I deliver this to you. Doesn't mean that God literally delivered, as if God grabbed them and gave them to the devil. No, it doesn't mean that. It means delivered or turned to, as in God let them, but He let them because they wanted that lifestyle, and God is not going to obligate you. Amen. One thing is that God deals with you. Another thing is that God obligates you. God loves you, and God will deal with you while you have a conscience of God. God will be dealing with you, although you're wrong. God will continue dealing with you, but these people reached a point where God could no longer deal with them. Not that He didn't want to, He couldn't. Hallelujah. There is that pending danger there. Don't ignore it, glory to God. Don't play with it. As my pastor who is in heaven would say, don't be flirting with sin. Don't lose what God has given you, what you have to this day, out of the grace of God. Don't give more place to the devil. I'll close up with this. Leviticus 27, 27 verse 30. Thank you, Lord. And all the tithe of the land, whether the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy to the Lord. That word there, it's holy. It's dedicated to the Lord. New Living Translation. One-tenth of the product of the land, whether grain from the fields or fruit of the trees, belongs to the Lord and must be set apart to Him as holy. So if tithing or offering, whatever you give, is holy, it's holy for the Lord, it's holy for us. As we've been speaking, we'll be speaking more on this with more Bible in this financial area. But we'll be advancing more in our series. Stand on your feet. Father, thank you. I'll be praying for you.
Discipline your mind and your body. Thank you, Lord. Your nature has changed now, and you need to understand that. And if your nature changed, the problem is in your mind and your body. None of us have gone to the point, gone to the goal. Let's see if I remember correctly. Alex and I were having a conversation, and Alex asked, "You could also fall, Pastor?" Yeah, nobody's exempt from this, but the Bible says that if you're looking to stay firm, be careful that you don't fall. And you have to speak it and say it. And out loud, I'm going to finish my goal. I'm not going to go out into the world to speak it. I'm going to finish my race. And when I leave from this earth, I'm going to go serving the Lord. I'm going to go in Christ. Don't just speak it. The Bible says, I believe, so I speak. Establish it in faith. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord. We give thanks to the Lord. We have plans and projects if you want to participate. Thank you, Lord. We're going to change some of the... We're going to change the chairs and the setup we have in the kids' room. We need a new camera. Amen. There's various plans. Just see what your participation is. And you don't have to be pressured to do anything. But just give thanks to the Lord. And think of all the people that outside that's receiving the word. In TV and radio especially. And internet. Lord, we love you and we give you thanks. We bless you. For every person that listens to the word, that you indicate what their participation in this, in offerings that they have. And those that give, they give by faith, never obligated, because they want to give. That the, and if they're giving, that they put their faith into motion. And that the Lord multiplies their harvest. It doesn't return empty. Lord, we give you thanks. We give you glory. We give you honor. Heavenly Father, thank you for your truth and your word. Thank you that you are our helper. Thank you that years ago you took everything. You bore everything on that cross, and by your stripes we are healed. We speak healing to our bodies, and we release the healing power. And we speak to our bodies, and we say, be healed in the name of Jesus. We speak life to our life, to our bones. We speak an acceleration in healing in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Speak blessing in your home and not condemnation. Establish things in your home with the power of God. Speak blessing. Speak to your body. And if you don't see healing immediately, it's a process. It's like a seed. You go to sleep and you wake up and the seed grows without us knowing. Some of us understand agriculture, and it's the same way. The seed grows within you. The seed of healing grows within you. You begin to speak it and establish it. And you give thanks to the Lord. And you speak blessing. You close all doors. I always remember when Nuvia and I started. I always remember when we started here. We had a plastic table. Those are the patio garden ones. We had it in the kitchen. We rented a home on 13th Street and B Avenue. We had nothing when we began. Nothing. Nothing. And the Lord has been good these years. We've been able to participate just like you in giving to the kingdom. Thank you, Lord. I have more things to say later. Lord, now we give our tithes and offerings, and we give it with love and thankfulness, but also with faith, and we speak an abundant harvest because you see money as a harvest. And the same way we see it, Lord, as a seed, we give you thanks and we bless you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. So we already saw that there's a latent danger. Don't play, but don't be a fear. But don't play. Just remember who you are in Christ.
Were you ministered and were you fed with the Word of God? Then we give you the opportunity to do so online tonight, or in this day, or whenever you are listening to us. The Word of God says in Galatians 6, verse 6 and 7, let him who is taught the Word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. In those same verses, but in the New Living Translation, those who are taught the Word of God should provide for their teachers, sharing all good things with them. Don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. So in this case, we are speaking of Word of Faith Ministries, which teaches you the Word. Now, verse 7, New Living Translation, don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. So when a person is constantly fed with the Word of God, they should respond. Why? Because it is good for you. This is good for you. This is good for you yourself, because when you sow the Word out of thankfulness, then you will reap. And at the same time, you help us, or you help that person who is being fed, in this case, from Word of Faith Ministries to be taken farther. If Word of Faith Ministries does not feed you spiritually, then pray to the Lord to direct you or someone else and to another ministry to where you can be fed. But from where you are fed, the honorable is that you sow in that word. The Bible says that God gives to the sower. There is no such thing as, oh, I don't have or I can't. That's true. The Bible says that God gives seed to the sower and bread for food. So if you start believing by faith, the laws of faith are, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I ask seed to sow. I believe that I receive it and thank you for it. And from then on, every single day, thank you, Father, that you give me seed to sow. Miraculously, God will provide seed. We've lived it for those who believe in this. We've lived it time and time again. And we've experienced it time and time again. Time again. I agree with you in this day, in the moment of sowing. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I thank you for those who will participate in sowing and reaping. I call an abundant harvest, a hundredfold return. We believe we receive this in agreement in prayer. Thank you. Thank you that your word is true, and thank you that we see prosperity in the lives of your children, in those who will sow, in those who will give. In this moment, we thank you, and we agree, and you know what? Nothing. You will lack nothing, and not only you will lack nothing, you will come out of debt. Not only will you come out of debt, you will prosper in the way of God. You will prosper according to the way of God. When that harvest comes now, be wise, seek wisdom. Don't spend. Get out of debt. God wants you free of debt, and He wants you very prosperous to finance the gospel of the kingdom. God bless you greatly.
We hope you have enjoyed today's teaching brought to you by Word of Faith Ministries. For more information about our ministry, contact us at 480-458-8618 or visit our website, mpfccc.org.